May be seated. All praise. I love how that song marches us through the reality and the truth that Jesus didn't just die. And we're not just remembering that he lived a life and died, but we are celebrating the fact that the stone was rolled away, the tomb is still empty, and he is alive today. What an amazing thing that is, and we celebrate the promises. I love what Pastor Tim brought to us this morning in a thought of the promises, the covenant of God. And we're in the book of Deuteronomy, and next Sunday, actually, we're going to be talking about being able to advance in confidence because of his promises. And what a joy it is to be able to look at those. But we're going to be spending some time in Deuteronomy. We're going to start in Deuteronomy 1 this morning, so you can be ready and be there in just a moment. A young man had just turned 16 years of age. It was his birthday. He was all excited because on the 16th birthday, it was the day that he was hoping to get the car. You know, I don't know if that happened. It didn't happen for me, by the way. But for some, you know, it's like that 16th birthday, they get the car on the 16th, everything's so excited. He had been talking to his dad about it. He had been doing really well, you know, doing all of his chores to make sure that he was going to get the car on that day. And his birthday came, and his dad handed him a box. It was wrapped, and he was like, oh, this is going to be great. And he rips it open, and there's a Bible. And the young man looks at this Bible and he's like, what is this? And on the cover of it, there was a note from his dad that simply said, I want you to read this because it is meant for life. And there are treasures inside this Bible that you will need to know. The son was so upset at the fact that he was given a Bible by his dad that went into his room, he threw it on the shelf and he didn't look at it again. Walked away, and it had caused some issues between his father and him. And then one day, out of the blue, his father had a heart attack and was gone. A couple of days following, the son remembered the Bible that his father had given to him, and he went and took it off the shelf and he opened it up, and as tears are falling down his face, he's reading the notes that his father had placed in that book. Notes from a father to a son. Verses that he had underlined. Prayers that he had said for his son. And then about halfway through, he opened it up, and there were the keys to the car. For months and years, there was a blessing that was there waiting for him. But he was unable to move forward. He was unable to experience this blessing that had been given to him. This is something that we actually read a lot about, the children of Israel in Scripture, that there are times when God wanted to bless them so much, but they were unable to move forward. We read about this traveling that they do in the book of Exodus. The children of Israel had left Egypt and they had gone out as a nation and they had come to the Mount Sinai. And there's a whole story, the book of Exodus, of what happens. But the book of Deuteronomy is actually the story of Moses. Moses' last farewell speech. And so here he comes, and in Deuteronomy chapter 1, we start this, and we see where they're at. So I'm going to ask you to turn with me to Deuteronomy chapter 1, and we're going to read the first 8 verses. And as Moses is there at the Mount Sinai, this is the place where they had been given the Ten Commandments, and while they were there, they sinned against God, and all of a sudden, here they are waiting at the bottom of Mount Sinai. Deuteronomy chapter 1, Moses says, these are the words Moses spoke to all Israel in the wilderness east of the Jordan, that is, in the Arabah, opposite Suf, between Paran and Tophel, Laban, Hazeroth, and Dizahab. Takes 11 days to go from Horeb to Kadesh Barnea by the Mount Seir road. In the 40th year, on the first day of the 11th month, Moses proclaimed to the Israelites all that the Lord had commanded him concerning them. This was after he had defeated Sihon, king of the Amorites, who reigned in Heshbon, and at Edrei he had defeated Og, king of Bashan, who reigned in Ashtaroth. East of the Jordan, in the territory of Moab, Moses began to expound this law, saying, "The Lord our God said to us at Horeb, 'You have stayed long enough at this mountain. Break camp and advance into the hill country of the Amorites. Go to all the neighboring peoples in the Arabah, in the mountains, in the western foothills, in the Negev, and along the coast to the land of the Canaanites and to the Lebanon, as far as the great rivers, the Euphrates. See, I have given you this land. Go in and take possession of the land the Lord swore he would give to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and to their descendants after them.'" Now, when we look at this story where we have, first thing you'll read, he says they were at Mount Horeb. Now, Mount Horeb and Mount Sinai are the same mountains. Theologians and those who have studied all this, they say they believe that those were both just two different names for the same mountain, also called the Mountain of God, was another way that it was described. But here they are, and again, we need to understand that what's happening here, Moses is reminding them of what happened. They had been released from slavery in Egypt. They had made their way to Mount Sinai, where God had given them the Ten Commandments. So what is happening in Deuteronomy here now is, as he said, was basically 40 years after it actually happened. But he's going back to it, and he goes, "I want to remind you of something." And he said, "If you remember when we were sitting at the base of the mountain, God told us to advance. God told us to break camp and to move forward." Understand that they were sitting there on the precipice of going into the promised land 40 years earlier. This was pre the 12 spies that God said this. So God's plan in the beginning was, go in and take the land that I promised you. Now we know what happens after that, most of Exodus, the problem that they run into. But what we see here is a failure to advance. And why were they unable to advance? Well, we see in here a couple of things that he says. Moses says, God told us that we have stayed long enough, break camp, and advance. When you look at those three statements, you've stayed long enough, break camp, and advance, it gives us a point of what it looks like to move forward. We talked last week about moving forward as a church. We talk now as that, but understanding that it was the whole people of Israel that couldn't advance because of individual behavior of what happened. And sometimes our inability to advance is a result of the fact that we can't let go of the past. Now, when we talk about the past, we're talking past hurts, past sin. And so here in this one, he's saying, you guys have stayed long enough. Now, one question is, we look at this and the children of Israel had stayed at the base of Mount Sinai for about 11 months. Why were they there for so long? They were there so long, one of the reasons was because they were under discipline. They were being disciplined because of what had happened. This happens to them a lot of times. They actually find themselves in a place where God is ready to bless them, and then they sin, so God has to discipline. This was the cyclical aspect of the children of Israel. We find that one of the things that they did is they would see the miracles of God, and then they would grumble. For example, if you just kind of walk this down, you would go, the children of Israel were released from Egypt, and it was a pretty impressive release from Egypt, right? The Passover meal, the passing over of the death angel, and out they go. They go out as a whole nation. They estimated that was over 1 million of them that left. They go. They walk. They come to the Red Sea, and what do? They grumble. Well, what's good? We should have just stayed in Egypt. Well, God parts the Red Sea. He does a miracle. They go, and all of a sudden, a couple of days later, they're in Mara, and they grumble because they didn't have water. So God provides water. So then all of a sudden, they grumble 2 months later because they didn't like the food, and so God gives them manna. provides manna for them. It still isn't enough. Then just later, they camped at Rephidim and complained again about water, and God provided water from a rock. All of a sudden, 3 months later, they arrive at Mount Sinai, where Moses starts the story there, Mount Sinai. And we know the story there, that as Moses goes up into the mount 40 days and 40 nights, where he's with God receiving the Ten Commandments, within 40 days they had already forgotten what they were doing. And there they go, and they cause Aaron to make the golden calf that they would worship instead of the God that provided for them up to that point in time. Past, our past sins and our past hurts can at times paralyze us from being able to move forward. Yet God says in Isaiah chapter 43, verses 18 and 19, he says, "Forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. See, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland." Basically, he's looking and he says, look, stop dwelling on the past problems. Quit living in the past. I'm doing something new. I'm doing something amazing. I'm doing something incredible. Let's move forward. Paul, in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 31, he says, here's what you need to do. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. As I was reading this passage, something really jumped out at me. If you look at these things that Paul is saying that we're supposed to get rid of, every one of them deals with past hurt, past offense. Think about it for a second. He says, here's what I want you. I want you to get rid of all bitterness. Where does bitterness and anger come from? Where does brawling come from? Where does malice? Where does slander? All of these things. It is a situation where you did this to me, and I'm holding this against you. So now here's what I'm going to do. If I slander someone, I don't slander someone because they've been nice to me, do I? You know, man, they've loved on me really well. I'm going to tear them a good one. I mean, we don't function that way. You don't walk up to somebody and punch them in the face because they did something nice to you. Maybe in some cultures they do that, but not in ours. You know, when someone is hurting, we respond, we react, we get back at them. And that's what Paul is saying. In essence, the same thing that God says. Get rid of the hurt from the past and move forward. You know, it's common to see this. As a matter of fact, there may be some sitting in this congregation today that are dealing with some very real hurts of the past. Dealing with things that have caused you to stay put where you're at and not be able to move forward. As a matter of fact, this is what we're seeing in churches. They say that most churches today are experiencing what is called transfer growth rather than conversion growth. Conversion growth is that growth that comes from people hearing the gospel of Jesus Christ, coming to know Jesus, and then connecting with the church that they found Jesus in. So, which is really what we would love for it to be. But the statistics are showing that most church growth is occurring in what is called transfer growth. Transfer growth is this idea. I'm attending this church. Something happened that I don't like what this church is doing anymore, so I leave that church and I go to another church. And oftentimes when you have conversations with those people that have transferred to another church in the same area, you find a repetitive theme over and over again. Something happened to me in that church. They hurt me. I left the church. Sometimes this happens in families. Where in families, I mean, it's the sad thing when you see that families can't even be together. They can't talk to one another. They can't be in the same room as one another. Why? Because of something that happened in the past, and therefore they cannot move forward as a family in love and into the promises of what God has offered to each one of us because of past hurts. This is why we're told in Hebrews chapter 12, verses 14 and 15, to make every effort to live in peace with everyone and to be holy. Without holiness, no one will see the Lord. See to it that no one falls short of the grace of God and that no bitter root grows up and causes trouble and defile many. This verse is a tough passage. Because notice what it says. If we hold on to bitterness, if we hold on to the hurt of the past, then we fall short of God's grace and we fail to live holy lives. We need to release the past, let go of it, so we can go into the promised land that God has for us to take. Now, before I move on to the next point of this, I think this is a good time to stop and to actually ask the tough question. Are you stuck today? Has past hurts caused you to be unable to move forward? Has a past church hurt? Has a past family hurt? Or even past sin? Has it caused you to not be able to move forward? That can look different for many of us. For some of us, it's simply to enter the promised land that God has promised for us with our family. Or maybe it's the promise of the blessings that He has offered to us. Or maybe it's the ability to move forward in the ministry that He has given to us because we're holding on to this past hurt, this past frustration, this past pain. Are you holding on to something? Because Jesus simply says these words, cast all your cares on me because I care. Before we can move on, we need to let go of past hurts. But then we see a second part of this as well. Not only do we need to let go of past hurts, but we need to let go of our comforts. You know, it's really one of those difficult, it's just as difficult as the past hurts. Sometimes letting go of our past hurts, we struggle with that, but we also find ourselves struggling with letting go of the comforts that we have. That's why he says, look, here's what the deal is. You've stayed long enough. The discipline is over. It's done. You don't need to deal with that anymore. The past is the past. Now, break camp. What an incredible statement that is. Breaking camp. Now, it's for us, I don't know if you know what that means. You know, it's kind of a, anybody here like camping? You know, tent camping. Some of you have other kind of camping, glamping, different things like that. But when you hear the word break camp, what does that mean to you? It means take up everything. Nothing is left behind. It means to completely take everything out so that you can move forward. It's funny because sometimes we struggle with this point. How many times in our lives do we take that faith-filled risk that we step out, no matter what it is, without having a safety net behind us? We always need that safety net, right? I mean, I've heard of pastors or people that have been called. They felt God calling them into the ministry, calling them to a different location. And what they will do is they'll say, you know what, God is calling us to here, but we're going to hold on. We're going to keep this house here, and we're just going to rent it out. So that way, if this doesn't work, we have something to fall back onto. The present comforts that we have, we need to have that contingency plan. Yet Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verses 29 to 31, this is an interesting one. I would encourage you, if you have your Bibles, turn to this, because this really points a lot at this point of letting go of our comforts. 1 Corinthians 7, 29 through 31. Paul says to them, what I mean, brothers and sisters, is that the time is short. From now on, those who have wives should live as if they do not. Those who mourn as if they did not. Those who are happy as if they were not. Those who buy something as if it were not theirs to keep. Those who use the things of the world as if not engrossed in them. For this world in its present form is passing away. Says, look, here's live as though the comforts of this world mean absolutely nothing to you. You know what he says? For those of you who have a wife, don't live as if you don't. That doesn't mean, you know, go out and start dating people and doing other things like that. That's not what that's about. The point that he's getting across is he's saying, look, live moving forward. Don't be anchored by those things that you have in your life right now. Don't let the comforts of this world bog you down. Why did Jesus, in Mark chapter 10, ask the rich young ruler to go and sell everything that he had and give it to the poor and then come and follow him? You realize that was not the same statement that he asked others to follow him with. He came to this rich young ruler, a rich young man, and he said, I tell you what, if you want to follow me, go and sell everything that you have, give it to the poor, and then come follow me. Why did he ask that? Well, it's a simple answer. Because the things that the young man had were the things that were tying him down. It actually makes it very clear because it says that after Jesus said that to him, it says that the young man walked away sad because he had a lot. It was holding him back. Jesus in Matthew chapter 6, verses 19 and 20 says the famous statement that we say and hear a lot, do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and vermin destroy, where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven where moth and vermin do not destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. Now understand that God is not necessarily calling us to live the life free of all things that are good. He's not saying you need to give away everything. He's not saying that you have to be poor and take up this vow of poverty. But what he is saying is this, if anything comes before the kingdom and the advancing of the gospel, then that needs to go. Is that what is keeping you from moving forward? In Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 through 3, Paul puts it in these words, since then you have been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things, for you died and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. As you're sitting and you're thinking and you're at camp, can I move forward? Is my mind on things above? Or am I stuck on those things that I call blessings in my life, comforts in my life? You know, it's a great time and a great thing every once in a while for us to take that evaluation of life. If right now God were to come to you, if Jesus were to look at you this morning and say, I want you to give everything that you have, and I want you to go here, would you be able to do it? See, it's a tough question. But that's what he's saying. He goes, this is what it means to advance the kingdom. It means that we need to let go of the past. It means that we need to let go of our present comforts if that's what's holding us back. But then on top of that, as Moses is at this Mount Sinai, he said the third part of it is you need to move. You need to actually advance and move forward. You know, it's kind of fun, but how many times do we sit and think about, oh, how great it would be? Do you ever do that? You know, you'll sit there and you're talking, it's like, oh man, you know, if this would happen, if we could just do this, or and you start kind of snowballing it down and you have this great picture of what life would be like, but you never do anything about it. I mean, we can be notorious for that. It's kind of this, you dream of what everything would be like. And this is what they were doing. They were on the cusp of entering into the promised land. They knew what God had promised, but they were sitting. I mean, imagine how your life would have been different if you didn't do some things that you chose to do in life. Imagine if you chose to go to a different college than what you went to. What would have changed in your life? I think most of us would go, wow, that would have been a lot of change. You know, what would have happened if you didn't have that first conversation with that person that is now one of your closest, most confidential friends? One conversation. You know, what would have happened if you hadn't taken that leap of faith into some activity that now you find yourself you love to do? Or, you know, if you didn't try out that weird food that now you love? What would have happened if you made different choices in your life? Have you ever done that? Have you ever sat there and thought that? You know, guys, have you ever looked at your wife and said, I wonder what would have happened in my life if I never would have met you? I go, it would have been a very scary thing if I had not. But you see, we can sit there and we can think about all of these things. And we can miss the blessing if all we're doing is thinking about what could be and not move forward. Nothing in our life will ever compare to the promises that God has given to us. And we'll talk about those next week. But we're standing on the edge of the promised land, and He's saying, I'm ready for you guys to go in. And we may sit there and just go, that sounds great. Awesome. Boy, is that going to, it's a land flowing with milk and honey. It's going to be incredible. But do you realize that Scripture, when you look at Scripture, and we're going to run through a few verses here, passages of Scripture, have an expectation of moving forward, advancing. We've talked a lot about the Great Commission, Matthew 28, 18 through 20. One of the first words there is go. Go and make disciples. There's never an idea of stay. I want you to go. I want you to advance. As you go, make disciples. Matthew chapter 4, verse 19. This is great. Jesus, in the beginning of His ministry, He comes to Peter. And notice the words that He says to Peter. He says, Peter, come follow Me, and I will send you out to fish for people, or I will make you a fisher of men. I love that, because notice what Jesus says. He says, Peter, follow Me, and I'm going to teach you how to go out and make fishers of men. How to make disciples, how to make followers of Jesus Christ. In Matthew chapter 10, later on in Jesus' ministry, He looks at them and He says, I am sending you out like sheep among wolves. Therefore, be shrewd as snakes and as innocent as doves. Look, here's what I'm doing, guys. You've been hearing from Me. You've seen what I've done. Now I'm sending you out. Advance. Move forward. Take the gospel. Then in John chapter 20, 21, this takes place after Jesus' death and His resurrection. And again, Jesus said, peace be with you. As the Father has sent Me, so I send you. Nowhere do we see where we are called to sit. And understand that in this moment, they had every reason to hold tight. As a matter of fact, they were holding tight. They were in that room. They were sitting there confused. They had had a weekend. It had been a strange weekend. They had watched Jesus be arrested. They had watched Him be crucified. They had all of a sudden witnessed that the tomb was empty. Now they're seeing Jesus alive, and He's showing them with His hands and His side and all of this. And His words to them are, guys, don't get comfortable. They had every right to say, we were scared. We need to lay low. Because all of this can turn on us. And Jesus gives them the words to advance, move forward. In Romans chapter 10, verses 14 and 15, Paul continues this when he says, how then can they call on the one they have not believed in? How can they believe in the one in whom they have not heard? How can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can anyone preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. Unless we advance the gospel, unless we move forward for the gospel of Jesus Christ, we will miss out on the promises of the blessings of the promised land, but the gospel won't move forward. The children of Israel knew the promises. They were probably sitting there at the base of Mount Sinai in their tents talking with one another. Man, did you hear what it's going to be a land flowing with milk and honey. It's going to be great. It's going to be perfect. He's going to make us a nation again. We're going to be a great nation. We're going to rule over other nations. Everything is going to be a problem. The problem that they had was that they were living in a dream world. They knew the promise, but they weren't advancing. It was out there for them to take, but they were stuck where they were. We can talk all day about the blessings and the promises, but if we're stuck on past hurt and past sin, we won't advance. If we don't let go of those present comforts and focus on the things of heaven, we can't advance. And until we get up out of the seat and take that first step, that first risk, stepping out by faith, breaking camp, and moving, we miss out on the blessings. Friends, we've been given a mandate. And that mandate is to take the gospel message of Jesus Christ into all the world. To take it into our community, as we talked about last week. To take it into our surrounding areas. But understand that the people couldn't advance until individually they were all in the right place, ready to advance themselves. It's the same today. Am I ready to advance for the kingdom of God? Am I ready to break camp? Have I stayed long enough where I've been? These are questions that only you can answer for yourself. Are you dealing with past hurts and past sins that you haven't given to Him? Are the things of this world weighing you down, causing you unable to move forward for the kingdom of God? Maybe it's just you need to get up out of the chair and take the first step. But understand, the promised land has been offered. The promised land has already been given. All we need to do is advance, break camp, and move forward. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we often look at the children of Israel as a group of people that made mistake after mistake after mistake, and we think, how could they ever do it? But then we can look at our lives and we can realize that we are very much the same. That things of the past can hold us back, hindering us from moving forward, whether it be those things that were hurt, sin, or even blessings. And Lord, maybe even this morning, in this room, we're struggling to advance because of past. Lord, may we not leave this place today without understanding the incredible love that You have for us. The fact that You desire for us to be free and to experience the promises in the land that You have given for each of us. And to know that morning by morning, great is Your faithfulness to us. Lord, may we break camp in our lives and move forward for the gospel of Jesus Christ. In Your name we pray. Amen.